And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to show number 122. This is the Sports Kings from Queens NFL AFC preview. We are Darren, Kevin, and Gino. Listen to us anywhere you get your podcast. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook. Hit that button. Join our Facebook page. We're going to talk about the AFC today. We're going to start it off with the AFC East, and we're going to move around. We'll make some picks at the end. Kev, why don't we start it off with the New York Jets?
J-E-T-S. God, I hope I'm not setting myself up like I did last year. Well, I have memories of last year, Monday Night Football, four plays in, and there goes Aaron Rodgers, and there goes our season. You know, look, I think Joe Douglas had a terrific offseason here. You know, obviously, you know, Rodgers back healthy is the biggest difference. They got the good backup quarterback and Taylor. So, you know, they should be covered there. They rebuilt the offensive line, you know, signing Smith and Simpson and Moses. AVT's back healthy. The defense is strong and, you know, shouldn't show any signs of really slowing down from last year. Overall, this team is very talented. This team has got as good a chance as anybody else in the AFC, especially in the AFC East to win the division, as good a chance as anybody once you get to the playoffs. Defense wins, and this is one of the best defenses in the league. Only going to get stronger. If they get anything, 75% of Aaron Rodgers' peak would be what you need. No, quick overview, Darren.
Yeah, I mean, listen, on paper, this team should be really good. Actually, could be great. Aging quarterbacks, very accurate. When healthy, the dominant offensive line should be great. They have a big-time top three running back. They got a big-time top five receiver. They got young backups in the backfield who are showing real signs. They got Mike Williams coming in to help out a wide receiver, plus the Yak King in college, Corley. On defense, they're even stronger, though Reddick would help. Only the Jets would make this trade. Quinnen Williams anchors a strong D-line. Kinlaw comes in. See if he's a reclamation project. Clemens and Johnson on the outside. They're deep. The Tack McKinley signing, I think, was really good for this team. They actually keep 10 guys on the defensive side of the ball, on the defensive line side of the ball, I should say. So when you go through it, you know, the linebackers are strong. The cornerbacks are great. The safeties are pretty good. Hopefully Clark is an upgrade for this team. They should have a top 10 offense, should have a top 5 defense. The biggest question marks for this team are two things. Number one is the head coach. Is Robert Saleh head coach? I mean, that's what it comes down to. He hasn't won yet. So you'd like to see if he's a winner. And the other thing for this team is injuries. We're talking about Mike Williams. We're talking about Tryon Smith. We're talking about Morgan Moses. We're talking about Vera Tucker. We're talking about a lot of guys that have been hurt a lot of times. So now it's going to come down to if they stay healthy. And Rodgers, of course, you can't even skip Rodgers because he got hurt last year. So it's going to come down to them staying healthy and Saleh not being an embarrassment as a head coach. I expect a good year out of the Jets, though. G, your thoughts?
Listen, I think you stole exactly what I was going to say. If I had to put any rein on the two of you, what you said, it's one, is Saleh the head coach that you guys think he is? And then the two is, are you going to keep all these guys healthy? Because Mike Williams, although he's a great second wide receiver, needs to stay healthy. And we've seen it over his career. He's going to miss 3, 4, or 5 games every year. When he does miss those games, who's the Jets' second wide receiver? You know, you can't – this team needs Rodgers to be healthy every week. But when he's down 2 or 3 weeks, at least now you have a backup who you probably trust a little bit more than last year, right, in Tyrod Taylor. So, you know, the health of this is really a big question for them. I think it's a top 5 defense. I don't think I'm saying anything that's weird when I say that. And then how, you know, you brought in a lot of offensive linemen. They are all good players that you brought in. How well do they blend and form this offensive line in front of Breece Hall the way you need them to be, to give them the pass protection for Rodgers, to throw the ball down the field a little bit? And if anything happens to Breece for a short period of time, do you have enough confidence in your backup running backs to play well enough to continue rolling? You know, what you don't want to see is Breece go down for three quarters in a game and the backup running back looks like, you know, he's going to do nothing, which forces Rodgers to start throwing the ball all over the place. You know, the only question I really have for you guys, honestly, is do you think Conklin is going to be a big part of this offense? Because Rodgers likes that tight end. So for me, that's the question to you guys. I know you guys are Jet fans. Do you think Conklin, Darren, do you think Conklin is a big piece of the offense? Okay.
I think he has to be. I think he has to be a red zone piece. I think you'll even see Rucker catch a couple touchdowns. Here's the thing. You said it really nicely, Gino. If they're throwing 30 times a game, it's not going to be a successful season. They have to be throwing the ball about 25, 27, 28 times a day. You don't want to see 35, 40 from Rodgers. That means that we're behind. And they have to really establish the run. I do have confidence in the young backup running backs. Braylon Allen showed a lot in preseason. I saw him play for a couple of years at Wisconsin. The kid can play. You know, the other kid, Davis, is a player, Isaiah Davis. He can run too. So I don't have a worry about my running back depth. My worry is going to be, you know, making sure that we're not, don't get pass happy. And that we kind of ground and pound a little bit more. If they do that right, I think that the Jets can be anywhere from a 10-7 to a 12-5 team, which should be enough to get into the playoffs, in my opinion.
Yeah, We just ran through the schedule. We had them at 12-5. You know, when we talked about it, you know, I thought probably 11-6, but you're 11-6, 12-5. I think that it's a big year, Kev.
I think, you know, you mentioned, you know, the offensive line coming together and gelling. They've got players, you know, Smith and Simpson and Moses, you know, first time together here with AVT and Tippmann. Look, we saw the offensive line last year was atrocious all year. So even if it takes them a week or two to really start to get together and gel, as long as they maintain health, and it's always a big if with this team, Darren, like you mentioned, if they are healthy, they're going to be so much better than last year watching this offensive line. And they've got enough weapons, like you said. You know, we've got one of the best running backs. Breece Hall was third in the league in yards from scrimmage behind that offensive line last year. Like you said, Garrett Wilson, top five wide receiver with nobody throwing him the ball. Again, if Rodgers can play 14 games out of the 17, I'll be very happy with that. If he's healthy down the stretch and healthy for the playoffs, that's going to be the most important thing, because I think this is a playoff team. And, you know, having Taylor is going to be huge. Relying on, you know, somebody who Darren and I think have enough confidence that he's going to be able to come in and, you know, if he's needed for two or three games, you feel like they have a good enough chance to win those games. And the defense this year doesn't have to go out there and carry this team. This has been the top five defense the last 3 years with a team that led the league in three and outs. Now you got to have a chance for these guys, hopefully, to rest a little bit on the sidelines and then come in fresher. Boy, this defense could really improve even over what they've done the last couple of years. Just
have their ears back and rush the quarterback with a lead.
Yeah, something they haven't had the opportunity to do at all.
Kev, what are your thoughts on Saleh?
We haven't seen him with the quarterback yet.
Okay.
No, I mean, that's going to be the biggest thing with him is, you know, we watched him in Hard Knocks last year. We watched him on the sidelines. You know, he's got all the makings of a coach. We have to see if he actually can do it with a complete team now. There's no excuses. If they do not make the playoffs this year, he's gone. It's playoffs or bust for Saleh. And probably the same thing for Douglas now, too. Douglas, you know, he's been around for 5 years now. It's playoffs or bust at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that because – and listen, there's nothing to say if he was to get off to a bad start that he's not out of here mid-season. I mean, he this is a team that should be really, really good in this conference. And, you know, if they're going to come out and play so-so because of game plans and stuff, then his head's going to be on the chopping block. I mean, Darren?
Yeah, it's this is a young team with an old quarterback, which shrinks the window. Because the whole team, for the most part, is very young. All the good players on this team are under 25, 26 years old. And then you look at the quarterback. And the quarterback is what makes this team's window short. Because you would think long-term, there's so much young talent on this team that you wouldn't worry about it. But you don't know who's coming in after Rodgers. I mean, listen, do I think Jordan Travis has a chance to be a special quarterback? Maybe. I mean, coming off the injury at Florida State, did great things in college. We don't know how he's going to react at this level. So, you know, the window's short. It's this year and next year. And it's not really playoffs. This team has to make a move in the playoffs. This team, I know that they're the longest streak in professional sports and not making the play. I get it. But this team has to be something that's a little bit special. And I know we're putting a lot of pressure on it, but they have enough talent to be that way.
Okay.
And the other thing I like about the O-line a little bit is, remember, Moses and Simpson played together last year in Baltimore.
Yep.
And remember, Tippmann and Vera Tucker played together for a while until Vera Tucker got hurt here in New York. So the only guy that has never played with any of these four guys is Smith, who's probably the premier left tackle or one of them in the league. So you kind of hope that he'll be able to gel the whole team together. Kev?
And I think Moses even played with AVT's rookie year.
He did.
So he did. You know, that's he certainly a little bit did. More there.
And there's a little bit of comfort. A little bit. Because not a lot, but a little bit.
There's a little bit more. And then, you know, especially with the aging tackles there, you know, you pick up Fashanu in the draft. You know, he's got a chance to sit there, learn from Smith, but God forbid if something happens to Smith, you've got a guy you feel comfortable plugging in there.
Absolutely.
You know, and you don't feel like Fashanu is going to be overwhelmed like we saw some of these other guys last year who were just in over their heads.
No, if, I agree.
If I told you there was one spot on this defense you were worried about, what is it?
Safety?
It's safety. It's probably Adams.
Okay.
And I don't think he's a bad player. I think Clark is probably the better of the two safeties. The corners you don't worry about, not even the slot corner, who Carter got a new contract this week. Yep. The linebackers, Mosley being 32, might be the other thing that comes up in mind, in that he is, even though he's in incredible shape, he's still 32. The D-line goes 10 deep. So even though we may not have Reddick right now, you know, they still have enough depth where you feel like they have enough guys that can get to the pass, to the passer, which would be big, and should have enough to stop the run. So I would probably say Adams, and I don't think he's that weak a link.
Okay.
I think he's an average.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Listen, take into account that, you know, I already think this is a top five defense. So I'm not saying that one, you know, this is going to be horrible. I just wanted your opinion because I know you guys look at this really, really closely. So, all right. Any other Jet points before we move on to the rest of the AFC East?
Let's see what else we got.
All right, I'll start it off. Miami, the Dolphins. So they had a good year. They finished 11-6, lost in the wild card round to Kansas City under Mike McDaniel, entering his third year as the head coach. This was the second best offense in the NFL last year. They have a slew of stars on offense. Two is a quarterback. He's got beasts in the wide receiver corps. Speedsters, Tyreek Hill. He's got Jalen Waddle. At running back, they have a speed burner in Davon Achane, and they have off-injured, is how I will phrase it, Raheem Mostert back there. Fourth-round rookie Jalen Wright is also back there. Tight end position, although his average is upgraded from where it was last year with Jonnu Smith. This is an offensive line that is good but oft-injured. If they stay healthy, it will help their ground attack. Defense also needs to stay healthy. They brought in, you know, they have Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb. They brought in Calais Campbell, you know, Kendall Fuller, Jordan Poyer. They stocked up on some of these defensive guys. I think for this team to really, the offensive line needs to play really well, and the defense needs to stay healthy. I think this is one of the top teams in the conference. I think they definitely win in 10 games. That's my review of the Miami Dolphins.
I guess Darren? I'll take the Bills.
Kev, good.
I guess I'll take the Bills next. Since
because the Patriots are the worst team, so I should go last.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So the Bills off an 11-6 year last year. They won the division. They beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs before losing at home to Kansas City 27-24. This team that was really gutted off of last year. They've got a new wide receiver room, basically. They lost Stephon Diggs. They lost Gabe Davis. They lost their center, Mitch Morse. On the defensive side, their entire starting secondary, basically, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Tre'Davious White, Dane Jackson, all gone. So they've got big changes here. So on offense, you know, they made the change last year at offensive coordinator to Joe Brady about halfway through the season. You can see the change in the offense last year. A little bit more, you know, let's not just rely on Josh Allen throwing deep to Stephon Diggs. Let's use the running game. You know, James Cook ran for 1,100 yards last year. Let's focus on the tight ends a lot. They've got Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, who had really big years. And that's going to be, you know, what do they do with the wide receivers that came in? You know, they brought in Curtis Samuel. They brought in Valdez-Scantling. Their first-round pick was Keon Coleman. If they give any production to Josh Allen, and Josh, this is a team that can at least survive on offense. The defense, you know, like I said, you know, replacing the entire secondary. They still have Rasul Douglas. Damar Hamlin is penciled in as a starter or safety. Great, good for him. Great story that he's actually able now to come back and be an NFL starter. I mean, terrific.
No doubt.
You know, the defensive line, you still got names like Ed Oliver and AJ Espinosa. Another big loss, you know, they were counting on Matt Milano probably this year. He's already injured, torn biceps, no doubt. No telling if he's going to be back this year. So this is a defense is going to be real shaky, I think, based on what they've lost. Now, McDermott's always been able to get, you know, production out of his defense. It's going to take a hell of a coaching job to get this defense going like they were the last couple of years. They're going to have to really rely on Josh Allen to lead this team. I still think they're going to be one of the favorites to win the division, obviously. It's going to be a three-team race. And I'll turn it over to Darren to talk about the one team that's out of it.
Yeah, let's talk about the New England Patriots. So now we say goodbye to one of the greatest eras, pains me to say it, of all time, Belichick leaving. And now we enter rookie head coach Jared Mayo, bringing Alex Van Pelt to take over the offensive coordinator job and DeMarcus Covington at the defensive coordinator job. It's a young unit, and the cupboard is bare for these guys, all right? The big ads for this team in the offseason were, Brissett came in to play quarterback, Antonio Gibson, K.J. Osborne, Austin Hooper. Nothing that really, you know, gets you excited. Jacoby Brissett being the biggest name. The draft, they picked up Drake May and Jalen Polk, a wide receiver and a quarterback, try to help them along the way. Big losses, though. Mac Jones, maybe not the biggest, but they lose Elliott, who had a pretty good year for them. Devontae Parker, Matthew Slater, who's such a key guy for them on special teams for all those years. Gesicki, Judon, Lawrence Guy, Jalen Mills, Mac Wilson, Trent Brown on the offensive line, J.C. Jackson, James Ferentz on the offensive line. They lost a lot, okay? And it used to be where the sum of this team was greater than the individual parts. The only way they have a chance of being successful is that is the case again. Quarterbacks, they're going to start with Brissett, okay? May will eventually play. I don't know if it'll be 2 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever, but he'll be in there. He's raw, but he can do everything that you need him to do. It's just going to come down to if they want to get him killed out there. Running back, Demondre Stevenson is a legit running back, okay? He's a legit top-tier running back, and Antonio Gibson's an excellent backup for him. Okay, the wide receiver room is extremely young. Kendrick Bourne was the guy with the most experience, and he's hurt. That leaves K.J. Osborne as the guy with the most experience. Rookie Jalen Polk and second-year slot Demario Douglas are the other guys that will be starting along with them. And they have not had a lot of NFL success outside of a little bit with Douglas last year. The O-line, though, is the weak spot on this team, okay? As bad as the other positions are, Chuka Okorafor and Mike Onwenu are both poor tackles. Okorafor was benched in Pittsburgh last year. Onwenu is not very good. Robinson and Sal are not really good guards either. Sal will be replaced by Strange when he gets back from injury, but he's nothing special either. Andrews is a solid center, but that's it. So the up front, they're not strong. The running game is okay. The quarterback is below average, and the receiver room is below average. There's not a lot to like on the offensive side. And on defense, there's trouble spots too, which we haven't seen in New England in a long time. The D-line is Christian Barmore, but he's hurt already. Keon White is okay. The rest of the line is a little bit below average. The linebackers have a nice up-and-comer in Jelani Tavai, but the rest of the unit is average to below average. The secondary is the strength of the entire team. Jonathan Jones and Christian Gonzalez, who got hurt last year, have a chance to be two good shutdown corners. The tandem of Jabril Peppers and Duggar are above average at safety. So that will be where the strength is. The problem is I don't know if they're going to get enough pass rush to help these corners out. And I also don't know if they're going to be able to put up enough points to help this team win. This team was 4-13 a year ago, and I can't see him winning more than that this year. So that's the quick synopsis on the Pats.
All right, we're going to move over to the AFC North.
All right, that's me. So the AFC North last year, all four teams finished over 500. Only division that can boast that. So I'm going to take them in order of their finish last year. Baltimore with John Harbaugh won the division at 13-4. They lost to Kansas City at home 17-10 in the conference finals. This is a team that lost a lot. They lost with defensive coordinator Mike McDonald. He's now the head coach out in Seattle. They lost, we already mentioned, Moses and Simpson on the offensive line. They also lost their right guard, Kevin Zeitler. They lost linebacker Patrick Queen, Jadeveon Clowney. On offense, they lost Odell Beckham. They lost Gus Edwards. They lost J.K. Dobbins. So a lot of names that you've known from Baltimore for the last few years, they've lost. In at running back, Derrick Henry. Better than the guys they've lost? Should be by name. What does he have left in the tank? I mean, he was heavily used for a long time with Tennessee here. He's an older running back. We don't know what he's going to be able to do here. Quarterback, they still have Lamar Jackson. They now are going with Josh Johnson as their backup. you know, he's been around. You know, he's 38 years old. He's been around, I think, for half the teams in the league now. Wide receivers, they're still strong at wide receivers. Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, and Nelson Aguilar still fine there. They use their tight ends real well with Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. The issue is going to be on the offensive line. I think, you know, the new guys, Andrew Voorhees, Daniel Falele, and their second-round pick, Roger Rosengarten, they've got a lot to make up for with what they've lost. I think this is a downgrade for Baltimore on the offensive line that I think is going to take them a while to gel if they ever do. On the defense, you know, most of the names that you know are back. Nnamdi Madubuike, Roquan Smith, Kyle Van Noy, Kyle Hamilton, Marcus Williams, Marlon Humphrey. They added Nate Wiggins from Clemson as their first-round pick, the cornerback. They still have one of the best kickers in the league in Justin Tucker. Overall, this is still great defense. Offense, especially that offensive line, is going to be a big question mark. The offensive line could hold Baltimore back from possibly winning the division. Going to the second-place team from last year, Cleveland, with Kevin Stefanski. I can't talk.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. They lost to Houston 45-14 in the wild card. This is a team that added Jameis Winston to back up Deshaun Watson. That's going to be big. Last year, they went through five different quarterbacks once Deshaun went down. They finally settled on Joe Flacco late in the year, who had a career resurgence and was great for five games. Failed in the playoffs a little bit there. They're going to hope that this is a Jameis Winston that actually can look good. We've seen Jameis Winston in years where he's thrown 30 touchdowns and thrown 30 interceptions. So you got the good and the bad with Jameis Winston there. And they're going to need it because, you know, Deshaun Watson's played 12 games the last 2 years since coming back from suspension. We don't know if he can stay healthy. We don't know how good he is anymore. You know, the fact that he hasn't really played all that much for 3 years now or more. At running back, they bring back Jerome Ford. They added some depth in Dante Foreman and Nyheim Hines. Wide receiver, boy, this is one of the better off wide receiver groups in the division here. Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy. Can't go wrong with those three at wide receiver. They still have David Njoku at tight end. So the weapons are there. I think the question on the offense is really going to be the health and the ability of Deshaun Watson. On defense, you know, you still bring back Myles Garrett, who had 14 sacks last year, going to be in contention for Defensive Player of the Year. Bring back Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. You know, their safeties and their cornerbacks are back. You know, they've got Grant Delpit, Juan Thornhill, Martin Emerson Jr., Denzel Ward, Greg Newsom II. Strong secondary. This is a defense that last year finished first in the league in yards per game. That was a big step up from the year before. You got to expect a little regression to the mean there, I think, for the Cleveland defense. I don't think they're going to be quite as good. Not saying they're going to be bad. I'm still saying they're going to be probably top five, top six team in defense. But I think there's going to be a little step back. And really, it's going to be what does Deshaun Watson give him on offense? The third team last year, probably the luckiest team in the league, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They finished off last year 10-7, despite being outscored by 20 points for the entire season. They were 9-2 last year in one-score games. This is a team that went the first 8, 9, 10 weeks where they were being outgained every week, but somehow pulling off games and winning. And what they do in response? They change their entire quarterback room. Out is Kenny Pickett. Out is Mason Rudolph. Out is Mitchell Trubisky. And, of course, is Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. What does Russell Wilson really have left? We saw him really start to decline the last couple of years in Denver. Is he the long? Is he an answer here in Pittsburgh? I don't know. Justin Fields, we saw some promise here and there in Chicago. But, again, I don't know if he's that guy yet or going to be that guy ever in the league. Running back, you know, still pretty good at running back. They still have Najee Harris. Jalen Warren is back. So good running back room there. At wide receiver, George Pickens, Calvin Austin III is back. They lost Deontay Johnson. They lost Allen Robinson. They brought in Van Jefferson. And the hybrid row, they did bring in Cordarrelle Patterson, the wide receiver, running back, returner, combo, whatever you want to do. And they still have Pat Freiermuth at their tight end. A couple of rookies for them on the offensive line, which is scary to think of. Troy Fatanu at left tackle and Zach Frazier center. So, you know, a little question mark there on the offensive line with those rookies in there. On defense, you know, they still have all-world T.J. Watt with 19 sacks last year. You know, he's still going to be fine. Cameron Hayward just got paid, so he'll, you know, terrific there. They bring back Landon Roberts and Alex Highsmith. They add Patrick Queen, big get from Baltimore there. On the safety, they bring back Minkah Fitzpatrick, Demonte Kazee. Cornerback, they bring back Joey Porter Jr. They add Dante Jackson, who replaces James Pierre, basically a cornerback. I think this defense is still going to be solid. I mean, that's basically, you can say that for, I think, every team basically in this division. Solid defense, questions on offense. And I think their question, again, is going to be the quarterback room. Does Wilson or Fields really step up and take over this team? And, you know, the offensive line, again, is, I think it's going to be a question with two rookies starting there. And the last team, Cincinnati, 9-8, but missed the playoffs, finished in last place. Their season comes down to the health of Joe Burrow. We saw last year when he went out with the injury. Jake Browning did a nice job. I think he showed last year that he can be a backup caliber quarterback in this league, but it all comes down to Joe Burrow. Running back, Joe Mixon is out. Zach Moss is in. I think that's a downgrade. You know, Mixon's better. You know, Moss has had chances in with the Colts, but I don't think he's a big upgrade there. Wide receiver, little change here. They lost Tyler Boyd. Jamar Chase just reported in this week, and today we were recording this on Wednesday. Today was his first day of practice. We'll see if he's ready for week one. That's still a big question mark there. They still have T. Higgins. If anybody doesn't play there, they're going to go with Andre Iosivis and Trenton Irwin. The tight end, they brought in Mike Gesicki, who's going to give him a little bit better pass-catching ability there. The offensive line, they still have – or they brought in Trent Brown, who's going to be a big addition there. They added Marius Mims, who was their first-round pick. The defense, they need to step up. This was a team that was ranked 31st last year in yards per game. They still return, you know, Trey Hendrickson with 17.5 sacks, Sam Hubbard with 6 sacks, and they bring in Sheldon Rankin. So the defensive line should be fine. The big question is, you know, safety, they bring in Von Bell and Geno Stone to replace their safeties. Is that enough to give them the back end to support the returning guys, you know, Dax Hill and Cam Taylor-Britt at cornerback and Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt at linebacker? Is that enough of a difference to at least make this defense passable and, you know, with what should be a really good offense, give them a chance to the division? I think it does. That's my quick look at the AFC North. Any thoughts from you guys?
Listen, I agree with a lot of what you said. I think Baltimore and Cincinnati probably wind up in the first two spots. I think the bottom is Cleveland and Pittsburgh. I don't think Cleveland is too far behind those top two teams. I do think Pittsburgh had some wins that were not conventional last year that probably don't go their way this year. So I look for Pittsburgh to probably be in the bottom of that. The other three teams, I think, are going to all play well in this conference. Darren?
Yeah, Cleveland's going to come down to Deshaun Watson. And if Deshaun Watson's able to refine what he had a couple of years back, that's really what it comes down to. I know they can't really rely on Chubb. It's got to be Ford at the running back, because you don't know how he's going to come back off that injury week five or whatever week he comes back. I do like Cincinnati as well, even though I don't love that pass defense. I think Anarumo's a hell of a defensive coordinator, and I think that he'll find schemes to make that defense better. Cleveland has a tendency to make dumber plays. I think that, you know, Cincinnati will find a way to do well. Baltimore, I think, is the cream of the crop of the division. Not by a lot, but I think they're the best team. And I think Cincinnati's a playoff team with them. Those are the two I have going in out of here. We'll get more into that as we go, though.
All right. We're going to head over to AFC South. Darren.
All right. Let's start with the DeMeco Ryans-led Houston Texans, 10-7 last year. What a great year. What a great story. At least 1 year ahead of schedule, if not more so, for this team. Texans fans should be sending free drinks to Carolina owner David Tepper for passing on Stroud and letting them fall to Houston. They beat Cleveland in the first round of the playoffs, eventually fell to a good Baltimore team in the playoffs, but really good stuff for Houston. This year, they've added Joe Mixon to the backfield. They added Stephon Diggs. They added Danielle Hunter. They added Derek Barnett. They added Lonnie Johnson. They added C.J. Henderson. They added Tommy Townsend. So they brought in some really big-time players. They also drafted Kamari Lawson in the first round to play starting cornerback, and they got a little bit of depth with Blake Fisher as an offensive lineman. So they have some pretty good things there. Guys they lost. They lost Devin Singletary. They lost Jonathan Greenard to Minnesota. So it was almost like Greenard and Hunter were traded for each other. They both had good years. Greenard's younger. Hunter is a little bit better, so we'll see what happens. They also lost Blake Cashman and Denzel Perryman from the linebacking core. George Fent off the and Michael Dieter off the offensive line. Steven Nelson and Josh Jones out of the defensive backfield. So they have lost some things. When you look at this team, Marcus Stroud's a stud. Okay, he's suddenly become one of the best quarterbacks. Marcus Stroud, C.J. Stroud's a stud. I don't know where I'm getting Marcus from. Marcus Stroman above me. C.J. Stroud's a stud. He's had a great year, just been outstanding. Should continue to grow. Davis Mills is backup, not really important. Hopefully they don't have to go to him. If they do, they're not going to make the playoffs. Wide receivers are top notch. You got Nico Collins, who really emerged last year. Came out of, I mean, he was going to be good, and he turned out to be great. Tank Dell, nobody even knew who he was scoring touchdowns left and right. People were racing to try to bid on him for fantasy in like week three. It was unbelievable. And then they get joined by Stephon Diggs. So the completion of this wide receiving core is going to be outstanding. Tight end Dalton Schultz, very solid. So they're going to be fine in the passing game. Running back room, they trade Singletary for Mixon. You know, both guys run hard. I would probably give the edge to Mixon overall just for their history. But I think that I think it goes bodes well for Houston going forward. O-line is solid on the outside with Tunsil. He's great at left tackle. Titus Howard's okay at the other spot, but the interior is not as good as you'd like to see it. So Houston might have a little bit of a weakness. If you're going to find it on offense, it's going to be the interior of the O-line. Defensively, this team has bookends now. You got Will Anderson and Daniel Hunter. It's about as good a set of bookends as you're going to find in the NFL. Okay, the tackles are okay. Futakasi is a good against the run. He'll be the lead guy in there. That's really what they're going to kind of rely on. The linebacking core is very different, though. They lose two starters in Perryman and Cashman, who both played very well. They bring in Al-Shaair from Tennessee. Again, I don't think it's a strength for this team. I think the linebacker is probably the weakest part of the defense for this team. Secondary is a good one. Safeties Petre and Jimmy Ward, when Ward stays healthy, are very good. And Derek Stingley Jr. is a shutdown corner on one end. Lassiter, the rookie, starts on the other side. Houston has all the weapons. They have the quarterback. They got the left tackle. They got the wide receiver ones. They got a tight end. They got a shutdown corner, bookend pass rushes. If they can control the battles up front, if they can stop the run and run the football a little bit, that will determine how far that they go. If they do that, I think they win this division. I'm going to go from first to worst. I'm going to go right to Tennessee, because why not? The Tennessee Titans are a 6-11 team coming off with a brand new head coach named Brian Callahan, if it sounds familiar to you, because he's been offensive coordinator in the league for a while. And his father was the offensive line coach, Bill. If they were mostly good run by Vrabel, they decided to let go of him. I thought Vrabel did a nice job for the most part in Tennessee. The team was always competitive. And we start the Will Levis era. You know, basically that's really what it's going to be. Adds this year, Tony Pollard comes in. Calvin Ridley comes in. Legarius Sneed comes in. Sebastian Joseph Day comes in. Kenneth Murray. Jadobia Awuzie. Tyler Boyd. Lloyd Cushenberry. Sadiq Charles. So they've added a lot of players. The draft, they added J.C. Latham and Devondre Sweat. Both guys will start right away. So Sweat is the nose tackle. Latham as the left tackle. He played right tackle at Alabama. I don't know if he's going to be able to switch over to left tackle A and B. Some of these Alabama offensive linemen haven't panned out. See Evan Neal. See Alex Leatherwood. These guys haven't always panned out. They're big and they're slow. So I don't know how good J.C. Latham is going to be, and I was kind of glad he didn't fall to the Jets. Losses, they lose Tannehill, so that regime's over. Derrick Henry goes. Andre Dillard, Chris Hubbard, Aaron Brewer, a bunch of offensive linemen. Denico Autry, who had 8.5 sacks from the interior. Aziz Al-Shahir, linebacker. Sean Murphy Bunting, the secondary. Christian Fulton in the secondary and Terrell Edmonds in the secondary. So they have a lot of changes. But like I said, it's all about the Will Levis era, okay? He's got all the tools, okay? He already led to a couple of fourth quarter comebacks last year. He did some nice things. He just is a little bit immature, and they need him to mature and then mature fast and get going. The running game adds Pollard to run the show. He's not Derrick Henry, but he was coming off a broken leg last year, did not have a good year. I think he has a really big bounce back year, especially with the way this wide receiver room is going to look. I think he's going to be really, really good, which is really going to help them. Tyjae Spears had a solid rookie year as a backup. I think he'll be fine helping him out, and I think the running back room will be a little bit more explosive and a little less predictable. The wide receivers are the strength, okay? You add Calvin Ridley, the DeAndre Hopkins, and you bring in Tyler Boyd, who's been that slot guy for Cincinnati for all these years. And there's a lot of weapons for Levis to throw to, which is really, really good for them. The O-line is a question mark. You got Latham, rookie at left tackle, like I said. I don't love it. The right tackle, nothing special, okay? Overall, the unit is below average. The interior is probably a little bit of a strength, but nothing great. So that's where you worry about Tennessee, if they're going to fall apart on the offensive line. Defensively, the secondary is really pretty good. It's great, actually. Sneed and Awuzie come in. You have two lockdown cornerbacks out of nowhere in Tennessee. And the safeties are solid, led by Quandre Diggs. So they're going to be fine. Linebackers can get to the quarterback. You got Landry and Key as outside linebackers that should be able to put a nice pass rush on. And Jeffrey Simmons at defensive tackle is a really good player. The problem that this team's going to face is that they have a tendency to, rely on mediocre guys to help them out. Like Sebastian Joseph Day is not anything special. So you lose a little bit there. Overall, Tennessee could be a lot of fun to watch this year. The concerns are in the trenches. They need to be better to advance into the playoffs. If the offensive line and defensive line play better, they have a shot. I think they'll get pressure. I think they have corners. I just don't know if they have enough to really stop the run on a consistent basis. The Indianapolis Colts, 9-8, Shane Stricken coming off his first year. They added absolutely nothing. They had a Raekwon David and Joe Flacco. They drafted Laiatu Latu and Adonai Mitchell, and they lost Gardner Minshew, Zach Moss, Isaiah McKenzie, and Jacob Martin. This team probably did the least in free agency of any team I saw all year. Okay, Anthony Richardson back. If you watch Anthony Richardson, he had a couple of really nice games before he got hurt. The problem with Richardson is going to be his accuracy. If he can complete passes on a regular basis, the tools are there. The speed is there. Is he smart enough to make the right read at the right time? And can he make the big throw when he has to? The running game is going to be fantastic. Jonathan Taylor is Jonathan Taylor. He's one of the elite backs in the league. He's healthy, ready to go. No holdout, no health issues. He's ready to go. Wide receiver room is pretty good. I mean, Michael Pittman's a nice number one. Downs is a solid receiver. The rookie Mitchell is pretty solid as well. And the tight end Granson's a nice young tight end. So they have enough people for him to throw to. The strength on this team, though, is the O-line. This is probably one of the top three, if not the top one, offensive lines in all of football. Maybe them in Detroit. I'd say 1 and 2. Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, Bernard Raimann. These guys are all stars. I mean, they have a great front five. And that's going to help them a long way as long as they stay healthy. On the defensive side, this team is pretty good up front. They got Quiddy Pay and DeForest Buckner leading the way. The rookie Latu should help. They have enough guys that can get to the quarterback. Zaire Franklin's a playmaker at linebacker. He's really good. He makes a ton of tackles. The secondary outside of Blackman is weak, though. A lot to prove. The cornerbacks are Brenson Jones, and they were hurt a lot last year. When they played, they were okay, but nothing special. So here's the thing with Indy. They're strong in the trenches. They're actually the opposite of the other two teams I just said. They are really strong in the trenches. What's going to come down for this team is if they can stop the pass. If they can defend the pass and come up with schemes to make sure they do that, they have a shot at getting into the playoffs. But they're going to need to really play well in the back end and defensively, and I don't know if they have that in them. And finally, last but not least, Doug Peterson and the Jacksonville Jaguars, who Kevin led on in a different episode. That's his sleeper team here. This is a team that was 8-3 last year. Everything was going well, and then Trevor Lawrence started to get banged up a little bit, and they finished 9-8. So they, most of us thought that Jacksonville was going to be the team that ruled this division for years when Lawrence got drafted and they made that first little playoff run. Oh, the anointing of Trevor Lawrence, but it didn't happen last year, and suddenly Houston has become a formidable foe, as has Indy, and we'll see what happens with Tennessee. Big additions for this team. Gabe Davis comes in. Mitch Morse comes in. Eric Armstead, probably the biggest one. Devin DuVernay, Ronald Darby, Darnell Savage. And they brought in some players. They drafted Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver. They drafted Mason Smith, a defensive tackle. So they tried to upgrade there. They lost Calvin Ridley. They lost Kalavon Chason. They lost Darius Williams. They lost Dwayne Smoot. So they lost some players, but they gained some as well. Lawrence is the key, okay? If Trevor Lawrence can stay healthy, he's got all the tools and all the ability. I would honestly say that he's probably been more of a disappointment to me than he's exceeded the expectations coming out of Clemson. I think he's been good, but I don't think he's been as good as I expected him to be. But when fully healthy, I think he could do a lot of great things for this team. Travis Etienne is ready to become an elite back. I think he started to last year. I think he's ready just to take on the full load and really be ready to go. Wide receivers are led by Christian Kirk. You're bringing Gabe Davis from Buffalo, who's got great speed. Remember that huge playoff game against the Chiefs. But he also disappears for stretches upon stretches upon stretches. He's feast of famine. Rookie wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. is a really nice prospect. Evan Engram has emerged since he left the Giants in Jacksonville as a really good tight end. The O-line is not very good, though. Morse is a nice ad, but they need to be better. Scherf is probably the best offensive lineman they have. And as Gino can tell you, as a Washington fan, he gets hurt a lot. If he stays healthy, he's pretty good. Okay, so that's where the weakness of the offense is going to be up front. They're going to have to protect Lawrence, keep him healthy. Defensively, the addition of Eric Armstead should go a long way with Josh Allen. Make a solid 1-2 pick, and former number one pick overall, Trayvon Walker, should continue to get better and better. So he was the guy that was picked before Aiden Hutchinson. Everybody said, what are you, crazy? But he's been okay. So you really can't criticize him too much. But overall, when you look at this team, defensively, the linebackers are solid. You got Alukun, who's a tackling machine, always leads the league in tackles. The secondary tried to upgrade with Darby and Savage. They'll be good, but they're not going to be great, okay? So overall, Jacksonville has some areas that they've improved. They got a ton of talent on offense and some really good defensive players. They just need to regain their form. They fell into such a swoon at the end of last season. So it's going to really come down to if they can regain and capture that magic. So that's really where I sit with the four teams. Well, my prediction is Houston to win it, and I think that Jacksonville and Houston are going to fight for Jacksonville and Indy are going to fight for playoff spots. Boys, what do you think?
So, I think Houston is the cream of this division. I think Houston wins 12 games. The other three teams, I all think, have question marks, holes. Things need to go right for certain teams. I mean, for Indianapolis, they need Richardson and Taylor to stay healthy. Jacksonville, so much is going to depend on whether or not, the defense plays really well. Tennessee, the offensive line, defensive line aren't great. My thinking is Houston probably wins 12. Everybody else is kind of right around 500. I don't think any of these teams are horrible, but I don't think any of these teams are fantastic either. Kev?
Yeah, I don't think there's a great team in this division. I think they're going to be pretty well evenly matched. My big thing is going to be with Houston. I know C.J. Stroud had a lot to do with it. This team that won 3 games 2 years ago, they made the huge improvement up to 10 wins. Usually you see a little bit of a drawback. I'm not saying they're going to be a bad team. I think this is still a team that could win 9 or 10 games. But I think with a healthy Trevor Lawrence and with ETN ready to blossom, I think Jacksonville wins this division. And I think they're the only team that gets in from this division into the playoffs.
All right. All right. G, why don't you tell us about the West?
All right. We will start atop the division, which is Kansas City. Finished 11-6, won the Super Bowl for the second straight year. At this point, all teams are going through Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to get to the Super Bowl. Mahomes will have Pacheco back at running back, perennial all-star Travis Kelce at tight end. We know he's aging. He's still one of the top two or three tight ends in this league. Wide receiver, Rashee Rice. He's joined by first-round burner, and I mean a burner, in Xavier Worthy. Free agent Hollywood Brown is there. And the backups for the wide receiver position are aplenty in Kansas City. Sky Moore, Justin Watson, Mecole Harmon, Juju Smith-Schuster, they're just loaded at wide receiver. The O-line is probably top half of the league, especially with the interior blockers. On defense, they lost Legarius Sneed to Tennessee. The rest of the secondary is probably league average. The defensive line is top-notch and anchored by Chris Jones. That's what's going to have to support an average secondary with a lot of pressure. My guess is Kansas City wins 10, 11, 12 games again. Unlike what we just talked about in the AFC South, which there's no bad teams, the AFC West probably has a lot of bad teams. We'll start with the next team on the list, which is Las Vegas. They finished at 8-9. And new head coach Antonio Pierce is back trying to improve after last year's second half. QB position is in flux right now. It's going to be manned by a new starter, Garner Minshew. Aiden O'Connell is the backup. At wide receiver, Davante Adams. He's rescinded his trade request temporarily. He teams with Jacoby Myers. We'll have to watch as we get closer to the deadline to see if he goes somewhere, specifically if Las Vegas starts off really bad. The tight end position is manned by rookie first-round pick Brock Bowers and last year's second-round pick Michael Meyer. The question is, are both capable of pass catching and pass blocking at this level? We're going to find out. The offensive line will be better with rookie Jackson Powers Johnson joining a decent group. The defense will be top. They'll probably be a top 10, top 15 defense. They'll be anchored by the D line with Max Crosby and Malcolm Kuntz. Free agent defensive lineman Christian Wilkin also comes in. And free agent linebacker Robert Spillane comes in to help the anchor the secondary, which was not so great last year. The next team is Denver. They finished at 8-9 under head coach Sean Payton's first year. Gone is Russell Wilson, and a new era begins as rookie first-round pick Bo Nix will anchor the offense. It features Javonte Williams and Jaleel McLaughlin. It also includes a wide receiver corps anchored by Cortland Sutton, Marvin Mims Jr., Greg Dulcich is a tight end, and it's not the best receiving corp, but it's not the worst receiving corp. O-line is average at best, so we'll see if they're able to generate any offense between Javonte getting a lot of carries. Defense is probably the issue. They're probably bottom third of the league. They're led by Patrick Surtain, who got a huge contract today, actually, and pass rushes Baron Browning and Nick Bonito. And then the last team in this list is the Chargers. They finished 5-12 under head coach Anthony Quinn, which led to his firing. Jim Harbaugh now takes over. It's a new era in Los Angeles. Justin Herbert's still the quarterback. Taylor Heineke's there in case something happens. The offense gets a complete makeover. So the running back position is now manned by Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, who took over for Eckler. Wide receiving corp is completely brand new as Keenan Allen and Mike Williams left. So rookie Ladd McConkey joins Joshua Palmer, Quentin Johnson, and DJ Chark. And Hayden Hurst takes over the tight end for Gerald Everett. Is Harbaugh able to get this group to gel will be a question. The offensive line will be improved. with first round pick Joe Alt in the mix now, but it's still not a great group. We'll see how they come together. The defense is good, but not great. They do have a trio of stars leading the way with Bosa and Khalil Mack and Asante Samuel Jr. Anchoring the squad. How good will they be will be the question. That is the AFC West, guys. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's obvious, you know, we still run through Kansas City. They're still the team to beat until proven otherwise. They have Patrick Mahomes. Nobody else does. And I think, you know, the Rams have talent. The Chargers have talent. We're on LA team. The Chargers have talent. They've got a head coach now in Harbaugh. I mean, he's worth at least 4 wins over what they had with Staley over the last few years. I think, you know, Denver, I think, is still a little bit away. The Raiders, I don't like their quarterback situation. I think the Chargers do enough to get the wild card in this division.
Okay. Just for the record, I think the Chargers are horrible, just for the record. I think Harbaugh needs another year to rebuild. Aaron?
I think the Chiefs have an absolute opportunity to even be better offensively with the weapons they have at wide out. He hasn't had deep threats in a while. Yep. So we don't know what Worthy's going to be, but we know what Hollywood Brown is. You already know what Kelce is. You know what Rashee Rice has really emerged out of nowhere to become a really good receiver, depending on how anything works out with the court case with the speed racing thing he had over the summer. Pacheco's a solid back. I would like to see them upgrade that position a little bit, but outside of that, not really much. I think he runs hard. I don't think he breaks a ton of tackles for as hard as he runs. You know, the old line is good. It's good in the middle. Right tackle's a little weak with Taylor, and left tackle's a rookie now. The kid out of Oklahoma is starting. So we'll see if he's up for giving Mahomes the time that he needs. Defensively, they losing Snead hurts, but they still have a pretty solid core back there. The Chief defense should be pretty good. The Raiders are an enigma because, you know, you thought on the Aiden O'Connell, they played relatively well, and then they go to Minshew. They move on from Jacobs, who had been their all everything at the running back position. You know, listen, that's fine. Running backs come and go, so that's the way it goes. But they played hard under Antonio Pierce to the point where I think they'll be competitive. I think the Chargers are going to get a little too much credit early in the year simply because of Harbaugh, and he hasn't brought his guys in yet. But I think the team will turn into a hard-nosed team. You know, Khalil Mack has to stay healthy. Bosa has to stay healthy. If they both stay healthy, they can rush the quarterback, but they haven't always done that. They're going to run the ball, and then run the ball again. That's going to be happening, and they're relying on, you know, guys like Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, who have also always been hurt. And then you look at Denver, and I don't really like Bo Nix against 27-year-old rookies or whatever he is, but 26, 27, whatever he is. But he's a game manager, and I think on a good team that helps you. On a bad team, I don't think it helps you a lot. And there's no names on that defense that you really get inspired by. I think Kansas City is the only playoff team.
Okay. All right. So we're going to make our picks for the AFC now for the playoffs. We'll start with the AFC East. I actually have Miami winning the division with the Jets and Buffalo getting in as wild cards. Kev?
I have Buffalo winning the division. I have the Jets as a wild card, Miami out of the playoffs.
And I have the Jets winning it, Miami getting a wild card, and Buffalo out of the playoffs.
Wow.
Okay. AFC North, I have Baltimore winning the division and Cincinnati as a wild card. Kev?
I have Cincy winning the division. I've got Baltimore as a wild card.
Well, we're really out on a limb on this one. I have Baltimore winning and Cincy as a wild card.
Okay. AFC South, I have Houston winning the division, no wild cards. Kev?
Jacksonville winning the division, no wild cards.
I have Houston winning the division with Jacksonville as a wild card.
All right. And the AFC West, I have Kansas City winning the division, no wild cards.
Here's, I have the Chiefs winning and the Chargers as a wild card.
I have the Chiefs winning no wild card.
Okay. AFC title game, boys. I have Houston, Kansas City.
Kev?
Jets, Kansas City.
I have Jets versus Kansas City as well.
I'm shocked.
All right. Okay, and last week, just to when we did our NFC title, Darren had Detroit versus the Rams. I had Detroit versus San Francisco. Kevin had Detroit versus San Francisco. Super Bowl teams, I have Houston playing Detroit. Kevin?
I hate to go with the rematch. Kansas City, San Fran. So chalky.
The Jets and the Rams.
Okay. Last year we made picks for MVP. Anybody know who they like as the MVP?
Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Pretty good one.
Burrow is at plus 900 right now.
We're talking about AFC or NFL MVP? What are we talking about?
NFL.
NFL MVP. I'm going to say Matthew Stafford.
Wow. I need to get odds on Matthew Stafford. I do not have him yet. I'm going to pick the Rams to
get there. It's going to be because he's having a special year.
I'm going to say it's C.J. Stroud. Picking Houston to go, so I will pick Stroud at plus 850. Okay, and there are our picks for the 24-25 season.
Are we picking the Super Bowl or no?
We did not pick the Super Bowl. We just picked the teams to get to the Super Bowl last year.
You want to? All right, then. No, that's up to you guys. I don't want to force anything.
Last year we just picked. We just picked the whatchamacallit, the two teams to get there.
All right. Well, mystery, I'm picking the Jets. Anyway.
I'm picking the Chiefs to make history, the first team to three-peat.
Wow. I'm going to pick Detroit.
All right. So we have it there.
All right. And that should conclude the AFC preview as well as our picks for the playoffs.
So we'll wrap it up. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Kevin and Gino talking about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports, where we talk about football for a full hour and basically can't decide who is going to be the wild cards in the league, if it's going to be Jacksonville, if it's going to be the Chargers. We have no idea, but we all think that Cleveland, who had the best defense in football, isn't good enough to make the playoffs. So don't necessarily listen to us. You can download our podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, TuneIn, Spotify, Audio Boom, whatever you like. Please like, follow, share on social media. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. And just let us know what you want to hear more of, and we're going to give it to you. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.